Well, welcome.
Why don't we start with a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord. I thank you for the camp, Lord, and the kids that are here, Lord, and the adults that are here, Lord. Lord, I pray that tonight we continue to be a blessing, that your word would be spoken, and that it would touch people's hearts, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your enduring love, even as we take a look at that. You know, we pray. Amen. All right, so I was given 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. So who's going to stand up and recite that for us? All right, go ahead, Lydia. Right? All right, go ahead, Lydia. All right, very good. Thank you. So now, if I remember right, Mike covered part of this on Monday night, right? And Dr. Cohen covered part of this last night. So they left me with nothing, I think. Right? All right? The enduring love, it lasts forever, right? Okay, we're done. No. Right? See? Dr. Oliver's doing the 5-hour sermon. I'm going to do the 5-minute sermon. No. All right, but anyway, we will press on. But there's 25 questions at the end with 5 parts each question. All right, but we're going to continue on the endurance of love, right? God's enduring love. And when I think of God's enduring love, the first thing I think of is a marathon, right? So, you have in your books there the definition of endurance, right? The ability or strength, okay, that's the word we're missing, strength to continue or last, especially despite fatigue, stress, or other adverse conditions. Now, anybody ever been low on strength, fatigued, stressed, or other adverse conditions? Right? Okay. That's definitely something we all go through. And we're going to talk about some things that fail, just like these things. And we're going to talk about some things that endures. So, all right, I need a volunteer. Who's a runner? Who's a runner? All right, come on up here, Megan. That's fine. Come on up, Megan. Come on up. Stand right here. Okay, so I want you to run around the room. Go ahead, run around the room. Here we go. Go, Megan. Go, Megan. Here we go. Okay, run around again. Okay. All right. Are you tired? Are you tired? You can stop. No, you can stop. All right, wait right here. Wait right here. So, look at me. How many times did you run around the room?
Two.
Okay. Could you run around 3 times? 4 times?
Yes.
5 times?
Yes.
How about 100 times?
No.
100 times? I found your limit. Now, so what would happen at 100 times? You'd be passed out, right? I'd probably be passed out too. So you're saying that you cannot do that many times, right? Okay, you can sit down. Okay, so which of these did she not make? Which of these did Jeff fit? Maybe fatigue? Fatigue, maybe it was stress, right? I can do it. No, I can't. Ran out of gas, right? All right, so when you think about a marathon, you know how fast I can run a mile? You know how fast I can run a mile? I used to run a lot faster. Now I can run a mile in about 8.5 minutes. Not too bad. Not horrible, right? But but I can do that for about 3 miles, and then I'm done. I really can't go too much further, right? Just haven't really worked that up. I don't know how much more I could do anyway. But you know, there's people, the fastest marathon, you know how far a marathon is? 26 miles. And they ran every mile in 4 minutes and 42 seconds per mile. But you know what? Could they do that? Could they run a double marathon? How about a triple marathon?
No.
How about all the way around the world?
No.
Just, you're not going to make it, right? At some point, you're going to fail. Right? At some point, we're going to fail. But thankful to God that God's love endures forever. God's love runs beyond the marathon, beyond the double marathon. Right? God's love runs forever. Now, in God's love, okay, no fatigue. See, we talked about the marathon. There's no fatigue in God's love. God's love is always there. Just like it talks about there in verse 8. Love never fails. And then we got the non-affected by the stress of life. Anybody ever gone to the dentist for the first time? Yeah, who enjoyed their first visit to the dentist? Besides Jer. All right, who enjoyed their first... Who got to the dentist and didn't even want to open their mouth? Hey, that was me, probably, right? Okay, see, that's stress. Okay, that's the stress of life. Now, as you get adults, you get more stress in your life. But as kids, you know, we face these things. All right, we got the... But God's love lasts forever, so it impacts our mortal life and our eternal life. Well, what does that mean? What's our mortal life? That's our life here on earth. And then our eternal life is when we continue where? In heaven with God, right? Amen. All right, so now we're talking about the infinite width and depth, right? God's love has an infinite width and depth. And I had Jim play that song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Right? Anybody know the second verse to that? Or the second line? Do you know?
How deep the Father's love for us.
How vast beyond all measure. How vast beyond all measure. Now, anybody sing the song Deep and Wide? Right, even wide. Now, how do you do wide? How do we show wide? Now, why do we do that? Because it's big, right? It's wide. Now, put your hands together side by side all the way across. And now we make it even wider, right? But you know what? God's love exceeds that because we can't show infinite. We can't show infinity. Okay? What God has in store for us is beyond all our measure. And of course, if God's love lasts forever, then the opposite of that is true as well, right? God's love never fails. All right. Now, as we go on, and if you miss it, you can come see me. I'll give it to you. All right, so we're talking about God's enduring love. And we're going to look at some examples, some biblical examples of how God shows his love to us. Okay? So we're going to turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 7. Okay? Let's find Luke chapter 7. And we're going to look at verses 47 and 48. Okay? Who wants to read that for me? Okay, Patrick, go ahead. Nice and loud.
Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven.
So we read just a small portion, but if we look back, we see this picture of this woman, okay, who came to Jesus and cleaned Jesus' feet with her tears and with her hair, right? Cleaned his feet. And Jesus, out of his love, okay, not what we've done for him, but Jesus, out of his love, forgave her of all that she had done. So you see that Jesus has the ability to show the ultimate love of what? Granting eternal life, right? Jesus shows the ultimate love to us to grant us eternal life so that we might live with him where? In heaven. And that's the only way we can enjoy this eternal love is if we continue beyond this earth into heaven, right? Now, so we see that the only way love endures is through salvation through Christ and God changing our hearts. All right, let's look at a second example. Righteous love equals godly love. All right, so how many of you have done something nice to somebody? All right, who has never done anything nice to anybody? Everyone wants to raise your hand now, is that what it is? You're late. You're on the next question. All right, so let's look at Matthew chapter 25. Okay, Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to look at verses 34 through 40. All right, so I'm going to read this one to you. It says, "The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you also did it to me.'" So you see the kind acts. You see the picture of this king, right? See the picture of this king. And the king has this, and you have gone and you have helped the king. Okay, you helped the king in his time of need. Now you didn't actually help the king himself, right? Who did you help? You helped one of the people, let's call them the peasant folk, or the other people underneath the king. All right? You helped the other people in the kingship, right? You did something nice for somebody. You did something generous for somebody. You did it out of the goodness of your heart. What is that? What is that that you're showing to them? What? Kindness, or what else can we call it? Love or charity. From the King James, right? Right? We can call it charity, love, right? You're helping someone. But this passage is the picture of Christ being the king and us being the servants. And the idea is when you show love to someone else, you're showing love to God. You're showing love to Christ. Now, how can that be? Because it's God's love, right? It's God's love that he's shown through us and given us that spirit to help and to assist and to be with other people, to help other people. So remember, every time you do something good, right, who's watching? We learned this earlier, right? Who's always watching? God, right? Now, and we talked about stealing the cookies out of the cookie jar, if I remember right, right? Now, God's always watching that, right? He sees when you steal a cookie out of the cookie jar. But God is also watching when you do the nice things. It doesn't mean you're going out and looking for glory from it, right? You're not going out to try to do it to say, yeah, I'm the best because I gave to everybody. Do it out of your own, out of the goodness of your heart and the love which God has given through you. All right, so let's go on to our third example. So God's love allows us to resist the dark side. All right, what's the dark side? All right, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 13. All right, so someone read. You got it, Hannah? Go ahead. Nice and loud. All right, so no temptation is too hard. With God, we'll see you through it. Right? So we talked about that stress of life. God provides his love, provides his means to get us through those difficulties in our lives. So, but, you know, we talk about God is faithful and carries us through those hard times in our lives. So we looked at God's love enduring us, or God's love being enduring because he offered us salvation through Christ so that we can continue on in heaven with him and enjoy his love forever. And then we talked about helping others and God's love being all around us through our acts of kindness to each other. So God's love is now all around. And then we talked about in times of difficulties, when we talked about the stress and the fatigue, God is there to help us. God's love is there to help us through it. So we talked about some of the ways that God's love is enduring. So what's some examples of things that don't endure? Right? What's some other examples of things that don't endure? Jimmy? Not loving your brother. Let's hope that doesn't endure, right? Just be practical. What doesn't endure? Okay, Belle. Not loving your sister, of course, right? All right, Abby, give us something. Your life? You know, you actually got something that's on my slide. That's pretty good. I'm impressed. All right, can anybody else get the other two things on my slide? What? Not taking care of your dog, okay? Just give me something practical. What dies out? Patrick?
Things of this world, money.
Things of this world, money. All right, so I put an example here. I thought of a match, right? Anybody ever held a match like that? How long are you going to hold that match? Not too long, right? It's going to die out, right? That's not going to endure. All right? Oh, I have gasoline, you know? A little bit of gasoline is not going to endure very long, especially if you put the match on it. Of course, you might not endure very long. If you put the match and the gasoline together, then it's our bodies that's not going to endure. All right? All right, so like Abby said, our life, our bodies, right? Right? We're going to fade away. We're not going to endure. And then it talks about, now let's talk about things in our passage that won't endure. Okay, so specifically, if we go back to verse 8, right? As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Okay, so we got prophecies, speaking in tongues, and knowledge, right? These things pass away, right? These things are not the love that's going to endure forever. So let's talk about this for a second. If we talk about prophecies, when you think of a prophecy, you think of telling what's going to happen in the future, right? You go back to the book of Isaiah, lots of prophecies, right? Where they prophesy that Christ is coming. Remember that? Now, that prophecy was fulfilled, right? Did Christ come? Yes, Christ came. That prophecy was fulfilled. Now, there's other prophecies that have not been fulfilled yet. What's an example of a prophecy that hasn't been fulfilled yet? What?
Jesus coming back.
That prophecy has not been fulfilled yet. But that will be fulfilled when Christ does come. Now, another thing to think about this is simply preaching the doctrines of the gospel. Right? Preaching the doctrines of the gospel. That's important to...
Well...
There we go. We're trying to jump ahead. All right, so, right, we're talking about prophecy, right? And just, I think Mike mentioned this, and just preaching the gospel, preaching the word, preaching that Christ is coming back. But you realize that that's going to go away too? When will we no longer need to preach that Christ is coming back? You got that one? When? This is not a trick question. Sounds like a trick question. Hannah? When he comes back, right? All right, very good. So those things will pass away. Now speaking in tongues. Now I think Mike mentioned the speaking. He took all my stuff. Right? All right, so speaking in tongues, right? Now, do you know, okay, who speaks a different language? I'm not going to ask what other language you speak, Jimmy. Besides sign language, maybe, right? All right, very good. So you guys speak a different language. Now, does anybody know the root on why we speak a different language? Where did that come from? You know, Kathleen? The Tower of Babel. So do you realize the reason we speak different languages is because of man's sin? Right? They didn't scatter. They didn't disperse. Now, of course, we do have dialects that come up, right? If you go to Alabama, you may not understand them. Okay, you know. So, but in general, God diversed, moved people out, and now we have different, completely different languages across the world. And when Jesus came, and then the apostles and disciples, it was necessary for the disciples to understand how to speak in other languages very quickly, right? So that they could do what? They could go, you got it, Jimmy? Spread the gospel. Good answer. All right? So they could go spread the gospel, spread God's word, right? Okay? But once now that gospel is out there and we have mechanisms, we see this speaking in tongues and the necessity of this has gone away and is closed with Revelation. And then we've got knowledge. Now, one interpretation of knowledge is the supernatural knowledge given to us by God, speaking to us like, remember, who had supernatural knowledge given to them? Or where God spoke to them directly? Moses, right? Moses was one. Where was Moses speaking to God directly? We had the match, right? The burning bush, right? In the burning bush, okay? And then another interpretation of this knowledge is common knowledge. Do you realize how much knowledge we learn today because of the sin of this world? Think about this. How much knowledge do we put on because there is sin in this world? I'll give you some examples, right? Think about some lawyers that do with suits, right? Right? A lot of that problem is due to sin in the world. Think about, now, something that I have to go through is I have to put together machines at work, and we put what we call a firewall in front of it. All right? You know what a firewall is? No, it's not a big wall that catches on fire. All right? But it's kind of like putting a giant lock on your computer. Now, why do I have a lock on my computer? Right? So people from other places can't get into my computer. Right? We spend millions of dollars on locking our stuff up because of sin in the world, right? Who needs a locksmith to lock your house, right? All these simple things, but these simple things will pass away, right? But the love, I can't wait till we get to heaven and sin is no more, and everyone shows the love to each other. All right, so these things will not endure, but our passage, verse 10, when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Our passage gives us hope, right? Hope in the things that last forever. It tells us that love will not end. The same love of God that helps us endure through our earthly life and temptation all around us and imperfect bodies that often wants to break down will continue in heaven. So, I want you now We thought about some of these things. We thought about love that lasts forever. We thought about things that don't last forever. So, but verse 10, when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. What's the partial? These are things that will pass away. But I believe these things are good memories. Okay, good memories. So I want you guys to think now. I want you to think of your special memories. Right? Who has special memories in their life? Who has special memories in their life, right? Everybody has special memories in their life. Right? Who can share one real fast, a special memory? You got one? Go ahead, patience. Being with your grandma, that's a special memory, right? Now, I wrote some down. Maybe your first cruise. Maybe that's an enduring memory, right? Or maybe your first cruise ended like this. That's not a special memory, okay? Okay, yeah. Oh, that's not what I'm talking about. Let's take that one off. Off. Okay? Our special memories, right? Our first cruise. Maybe think about your best vacation. Right? Your best vacation. Okay? Or maybe it's the day you got first place in something. All right, now these are simple things, right? But maybe you also have memories through what you've done in mission work. Or what you've heard at church. Or what you've done with your family, right? Lots of special memories that we make. So everybody, think of your most special memory. Okay? Everybody got your most special memory in your mind? Well, put your hand down. Put your hand down. Oh, all right. Well, tell us your special memory. All right. Was your cruise? All right. Very good. All right, Mr. Sutherland apparently has one, too.
When Christ, when I was saved by Christ.
Exactly, right? So that's a special memory, too, right? When Christ saved you, because when Christ saves you, then you get to partake in this enduring love. You cannot partake in the infinite value of this enduring love without Christ in your heart. So think about that. So think about your memories here, your memories here on earth, right? Just simple memories that mean a lot to you. And all these great thoughts, right? All these great accomplishments, all these memories, okay? You know what? They can actually be counted as nothing when that which is perfect is come. Okay, now, it's not that our memories aren't precious to us, okay? But in comparison to what we're going to partake of in heaven, the memories we have here on earth are so little value. So think about that. Think about how much your memory of your being with your grandma, or being on your cruise, or being with your family, or something that happened in church. Think about that, right? And that's great. And everyone loves that. But then it's going to be nothing. Nothing compared to what we're going to be partake of in heaven. Right? And you and I will not be able to partake of this enduring love, this infinite value, this infinite love, unless, of course, we believe in that we allow Christ, right, to change our hearts. Right? And you know what? All that great things, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I'm excited that I know that a lot of these things that happen on earth that are really, really great, and I love those things that happen, and it's going to be even greater, massively greater in heaven. Kind of like they built the little cruise ship, right? No, wait. Let's go back to Jonah's boat. Jonah's boat was about this big, right? And then they built some cruise ships, and they were this big. And then they built, what's the big one?
Oasis.
The Oasis, and it's this big. Right? The heaven.
It's going to get even bigger.
All right, so All right, so I'm going to let you. I have a special memory today. I have a special memory happening today. I'm going to let you partake in it a little bit. Okay, so, you know, today is my anniversary with my wife. So, we've been married now for 20 years. All right, 20 years. Okay, and those 20 years have been fantastic. All right, fantastic, right? So, now, you know, in my... My wife and I have created a lot of memories together, and then you know, and you wonder, can you be with somebody for a long amount of time? We once went on a vacation together for like 18 days or something, and you wonder if you could just hang with your wife for 18 days straight with no other intervention in there. Right? Well, that was 5 years ago, and we're still married, so I guess that worked pretty good. So you know, and I would do that again. All right, so Mike, I think Mike brought something. I'm supposed to. Here we go.
I didn't.
Aww. Oh, look at this. Thanks, Mike.
Aww. That's not for you.
All right. Here we go. So Mike brought these great flowers here. Aren't these beautiful roses? What should I do with them? All right, come on up, Heather. Now, so as a token of my enduring love for as long as it will last, here, to Heather, right? Here you go, I'll give you these flowers. Happy anniversary. We're gonna wait till after camp. All right. No PDA at camp, right? At least not on stage. All right, so, you know, so I show you that, and I give Heather these roses because she means a lot to me, and that's, you know, she's very, well, you know, that actually fits in a lot of our message across the board, right, with love, right, just showing the love of giving something to someone that means a lot to you, and that was showing Christ's love. So it's really this Christ has given me the opportunity to show his love to someone else, right? And then, so in, you know, 20 years of marriage and being married to her has been tremendous. And I love the Lord for that, and I love her for that. But again, I just want to reiterate to you that even those memories, even that fantastic memory of being her for that long, is going to be nothing compared to what we're going to partake of in heaven. And again, you will not be able to partake of God's, the only way to partake of God's enduring love through his infinite love, right? As we talked about earlier, as Jesus gave the salvation to the lady that cleaned his feet, right? As Jesus showed that love, Jesus can show that love to you too. Right? And by believing in that love of Christ, that's the way we partake in God's enduring love. So the judgment is coming. And there's only two ways we can go. All right? So, and I put up here the time to believe. When is the time to believe? Let's see. Let's run this through. Now. The time to believe is now. right? Not after you go home, not after you, not right before you die, right? The time to believe is now, because God can then use you here in his service, okay? All right, and then we talked about there's two ways. You can enter into heaven and partake in his eternal love of God, or you can be cast into eternal punishment without the love of God. Right? There's no third option. I keep pressing the button and the third option doesn't come up. Right? So these are the options. So, and my prayer for you is that you will take on those things of Christ. And if you have those things of Christ, if you have Christ in your life, then I encourage you to continue to show the love of Christ to others, right? To allow God to use you in as many ways as possible. So I go back to a couple more lines of our song that we sang, and it says, I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom. That goes along with the prophecy and the knowledge. I will not boast in those things, but I will boast in one thing. I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord, for your love, for your enduring love. We thank you for your gift of salvation through Christ, Lord, that will allow us to live in heaven with eternity with you. We're so thankful. I'm thankful for the children that are here, Lord, and I pray that you would touch their hearts. I pray that you would use them in your kingdom. I pray that you would use them for your glory.